Our next presenter is Catherine Kendrick, who will be talking about some work she did as an applied epidemiology fellow when she was with the Florida Department of Health. She's now a community epidemiologist at the Fulton County Department of Health and Wellness. And so Florida's loss is Georgia's gain, I guess. And she's here to talk to us about the long-term impact of chikungunya virus infections in Florida in 2014. And if everybody could help me welcome Catherine.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. So today I'm going to be talking to you about a year-long study we did in Florida to look at the long-term impacts of chikungunya. We had two main objectives for our study. The first was to assess the public health burden of chronic chikungunya infections and their impact on Florida residents. And the second was to characterize who was most at risk for developing these chronic symptoms. As many of you know, in December of 2013, the World Health Organization reported the first cases of locally acquired chikungunya in the Americas on St. Martin. And since then, chikungunya virus quickly spread throughout the region, and local transmission was identified in the Caribbean, in South, Central, and North America. Florida has over 2.8 million foreign-born residents from Latin America, and they frequently travel back home to visit friends and family. Starting in 2014, Florida reported a sharp increase in the number of chikungunya fever cases among travelers returning from these areas with ongoing transmission. A short time later, in June of 2014, the first local transmission of chikungunya virus occurred in South Florida. During previous outbreaks of chikungunya in Africa, Asia, and Europe, patients have experienced persistent symptoms that last months to years after infection. The frequency of those reporting persistent symptoms varies widely by study and time of follow-up. For example, one study on a 2005 to 2006 outbreak on Reunion Island found that over 60% of patients were still experiencing arthralgia 36 months after infection. Another study on a 2006 outbreak in India found only 7% of patients were still experiencing joint pain 12 or more months after infection. And 75% of patients from an outbreak in Italy in 2007 were experiencing arthralgia 4 to 5 months after infection, and 67% after 12 to 13 months. We do know that the known risk factors for chronic chikungunya are older age, over 45 years, having pre-existing joint conditions like arthritis, and having a severe presentation of the acute disease. We attempted to interview all cases of chikungunya fever reported in Florida with onset from January 1st through December 31st of 2014. We conducted interviews by telephone for all patients during the acute phase of infection, as well as 3 months after illness onset. For those patients who reported persisting symptoms at 3 months, we interviewed them again 6 months after onset, and again 12 months after onset if they're still symptomatic at 6 months. Since most relapses happen within the first 3 months of illness, if a patient reported that his symptoms resolved at 3 months, we did not contact them again for further follow-up, and we assumed that they remained symptom-free. We tried really hard to reach everyone. Interviewers usually attempted to call patients up to 5 times, including at least one call after 5 p.m., and epidemiologists both at the county and state level helped with interviews. During each follow-up interview, patients were asked if they were still experiencing symptoms, and if they were, a variety of questions about healthcare visits, medication use, loss of work days, and disruption to their daily routines. We defined a patient as having chronic symptoms if he was still experiencing symptoms at least 3 months after illness onset. We then used a generalized estimating equations model for correlated data to identify potential risk factors for developing these chronic symptoms, including age over 45 years, inpatient hospitalization during the acute phase of disease, gender, race, ethnicity, and presence of pre-existing joint conditions. Florida reported 510 imported and 12 locally acquired chikungunya fever cases with disease onset in 2014. And this represented 17% of all imported cases in the 50 states and 100% of all locally acquired cases for 2014. Imported cases were acquired primarily in one of 4 Caribbean countries or territories, and they were Puerto Rico, Haiti, Dominican Republic, and Jamaica. Cases were predominantly female at 60%, and age of cases ranged from 0 to 98 with a median of 51 years. The majority of cases were of white or black race, and about half were Hispanic. About one-third of cases were hospitalized during the acute phase of infection, and only a few at 4% had a previous joint condition. Of the 522 total cases, 89% were interviewed during the acute phase of infection, 72% at 3 months, 63% at 6 months, and 60% at 12 months, for an overall loss to follow-up of 40%. Chronic symptoms were present in 45% of patients 3 months after onset, in 24% of patients 6 months after onset, and in 13% of patients 12 months after onset. And these findings are similar to those in Malaysia, where 45% of cases had persistent arthralgia beyond 4 months, and in India, where 7% had joint pain beyond 1 year. We asked patients if they returned to see a healthcare provider regarding their chikungunya symptoms since their initial diagnosis, and if so, how many visits they needed to make since we last talked to them. There's no cure for chikungunya, but symptomatic patients continue to return to their healthcare providers all throughout the follow-up period, in some cases returning more than 5 times in a 3-month period. About half of patients made at least one return visit, both at 3 and 6 months after infection, and 20% 12 months after infection. As you would expect, most people made more return visits earlier in the presentation of their disease, and most people were down to one return visit by 12 months. We also asked patients if they needed to take medications, either prescription or over-the-counter, to manage their symptoms, and if so, how often they needed to take them. The majority of patients needed to take medications at 3, 6, and 12 months, and over half of patients needed to take medication almost every day at 3 and 6 months after onset. The majority of patients did lessen their medication use to less than every day by 12 months. For comparison, a study in Reunion Island found that 80% of those with arthralgia 36 months after infection were being followed by a general practitioner, and 82% of these were receiving treatment. Regarding work, we asked patients if they had to miss any work time because of their symptoms, and if so, the number of days they had to miss. We also asked if their symptoms prevented them from performing any of their work responsibilities. About a fourth of patients had to miss work because of their symptoms within the first 3 months of illness, for a median of 14 days of work missed, or 23% of all work days within those first 3 months. Only 5% of patients were still missing work at 12 months. And about a third of patients were unable to perform their work duties 3 months after onset, but this decreased to 13% at 12 months. And again, for comparison, from a study in India, 91% of patients missed school or work for a median of 10 days in the first month of illness. Finally, we asked patients if their symptoms caused a disruption to their daily routine, affecting things like their ability to clean, exercise, enjoy their hobbies. Most patients did report that their symptoms disrupted their daily routines at 3, 6, and 12 months after onset. We asked patients to rate the disruptiveness of their symptoms on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most disruptive, and the median severity decreased at each follow-up period from a 7 at 3 months to a 6 at 6 months and to 5 at 3 months, or 12 months, excuse me. Again, for comparison, on Reunion Island, 46% of those with persistent arthralgia reported discomfort in performing everyday activities. From the regression analysis, we found that race, age, and gender were all significantly associated with having chronic symptoms. The presence of pre-existing joint disorders, ethnicity, and inpatient hospitalization during the acute phase of infection were not significant. The odds of having chronic symptoms for whites were about 3 times the odds for blacks. The odds for those over 45 years of age were almost twice the odds for those 45 years and younger. And the odds for females were about 1.7 times the odds for males. Having a pre-existing joint disorder, which is a known risk factor for chronic symptoms, was surprisingly not significant. However, this wasn't a required question during interviews. Severity of acute disease was also not directly measured in the study population, but hospitalization, although it's not necessarily correlated with severity of disease, could be a good substitute. However, inpatient hospitalization was not significantly associated with chronic symptoms. So in conclusion, we found that about 45% of Florida's chikungunya cases were experiencing chronic symptoms 3 or more months after infection. These persistent symptoms were not only disruptive to daily lives, but also required additional medical resources to manage. White race, female gender, and age over 45 years were all significantly associated with having these chronic symptoms. And the overall public health impact of chikungunya virus on Florida residents would have been underestimated if only acute health impacts were looked at. So I just wanted to thank all the county epidemiologists in particular who helped with these follow-up interviews, and Andrea Castillo, who did all of our Spanish interviews. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. Does anybody have any questions for Catherine?
Yes. Jeff Davis, Wisconsin, that was great. Really enjoyed it. Very nice design. One thing I have a question about regarding design is if you had a patient that had no symptoms or persistent symptoms, you stopped interviewing them.
Well, we interviewed everyone regardless of whether or not they were symptomatic at 3 months. It was just the 6 and 12 month interviews.
Right. Yeah. So then the question is whether certain patients might have remitting symptoms. In other words, there might be recurrence.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they may have gotten better, and then there might be recurrence. And I was wondering whether is there any literature to suggest that it doesn't recur, or you know, might it?
I mean, there is always a possibility. From what I've read, most relapses do occur within the first 3 months, which is why we interviewed everyone at 3 months. So hopefully that wasn't the case, and they did remain symptom-free.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any questions for Catherine? Yes, ma'am.
Marta Sanchez from Alabama. I have a question, because maybe I miss it. Were you able to assess any potential comorbidities or any other chronic problems such as fibromyalgia or any of those chronic pain?
We didn't look specifically at the type of like joint disorders. It was just whether or not they had a joint disorder or not. And again, that question, there were a lot of missing data for that one. And a lot of times people kind of filled in information from the medical record, and it might not have been all that accurate. So we didn't do a lot looking into specific comorbidities, no.
Because, for example, fibromyalgia, as far as I remember, is among Caucasians and female.
Mm-hmm.
So that is... Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions for Kyle? I have a quick one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there was maybe any continuing work in this regard to carry on with what you did, and then if there was any assessment of total monetary impact, like as far as insurance costs or number of days missed at work and disability payments or anything of that nature.
Yeah, we didn't look at anything monetary, and we did stop following everyone at 1 year, regardless of if they were still symptomatic or not. It was a very time-intensive project. I talked to a majority of all 522 of those cases, so we became good friends over the year, but yeah, we did stop after the 1 year, though.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.